Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for Industry Night, our weekly segment exploring the world of food and hospitality. Recently, we talked about digitally profiling customers in Chicago restaurants and also about the art of mixology. You can find both those interviews at WGNradio.com. Just search Industry Night. Well, there's no shortage of culinary stars in Chicago who are contestants on Bravo's Top Chef. You got Stephanie Izard, Sarah Grunberg, Beverly Kim, and several others, including my next guest, Fabio Viviani. He was a contestant on season 5 of Top Chef, where he was named fan favorite. He also appeared in Top Chef All-Stars and other Top Chef spin-off programs, and he's been a fixture in Chicago ever since, with his restaurant Siena Tavern right around the corner from here, and Bar Siena in the West Loop. He actually has 3 restaurants in town right now, including the Loop Restaurant Prime and Provisions. Viviani opened Siena Tavern back in 2013, and he's had a front row seat watching Chicago go from a good, solid foodie town to one of the best in the world. Viviani's had a big part of that movement, a movement that brings chefs, restaurateurs, and kitchen talent from all over the world to set up right here in town. Fabio grew up in Italy, and he stretched his culinary empire past Chicago with restaurants and food companies set up all over the country. In studio tonight, chef, restaurateur, television personality, winemaker, cookbook author, man about town, Fabio
Viviani. It's a long intro, man. I like it.
Chef, good to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, guys.
I mean, it really is amazing to think about all the things you do in the industry, not just being a chef or restaurateur. There's so many things that go, and we'll get into the business acumen that you bring to it as
But I think it goes, it's a stretch. You know, it sounds a lot when you read it on paper, but if you think about food, wine, hospitality, then you leap to real estate. These are all things that somehow they're connected. I'm just taking advantage of industry that I know how to dip my toe in it, and the fact that restaurant is doing very well for us, it give us the room to play with other ventures.
A lot of chefs will start their careers, or at least their careers as celebrity chefs, after being on Bravo's Top Chef. For you, you came from Florence, Italy.
Yeah.
You've been working since you were a kid, and you already had a career where you were doing restaurants and nightclubs all over Italy.
Yeah, I started to work when I was 11. I needed to, because my mom needed, you know, we needed a little bit more money in the house for some medical procedure to my mom. Now she's fine, but then we needed that. So I went to work when I was 11. Couldn't really work daytime because I was underage. Mm-hmm. So I found myself a job in a bakery shop. And I was driving a scooter when I was 11, like 20 miles every night around 11 p.m., checking in the bakery midnight and bake pies till 7 in the morning, getting my backpack and go to school. And I did that for about 4.5 years. Then finally, when I was 16, the owner of the bakery shop said, do you want to get a daytime job? Now you have the age for it.
We can actually
hire you, right? And I was like, yeah, I thought you never asked. And he gave me a daytime job. And then I sucked at school anyway, so it was perfect for me. I had an excuse to not finish school. And now I was working from 7 a.m. till midnight every day. And the guy said, you work really hard. I would like to expand the restaurant business. Would you like to be my business partner? And I was 19. So I said, sure. I didn't even know what to, I mean, it wasn't a contract, it was a handshake.
Right.
But a handshake that lasted, you know, 8 years. And then when I was 27, he decided to sell the business and he handed me a very fat check as my share of it. And that was, I was like, great, my God.
That's how you got started. You know,
yeah.
That's a good 15, 16 years of culinary experience before you even step foot in America.
Yeah.
Talk about what you learned from that experience that you still have today when you're running your empire here in Chicago.
The reality is that you got to understand that there is a process and you can't cheat the process. The fact that your parents put you through an $80,000 culinary school, the fact that you have a cool chef jacket with a kick-ass hat and your thing say chef, who gives a crap? The reality is that there is a process. And the process says that you got to shut up, show up, and put up for 10 years. And if you do that, you're allowed to have an opinion. Doesn't mean you're right or wrong.
Do you see a lot of people trying to skip that process? We hear that all the time.
Everybody tries to skip the process. Everybody wants to be, many people know Kim Kardashian, but they don't know Gandhi or Nelson Mandela or people that have actually changed the world for the better. You know, the problem is that with TV business, right? And look, I was on TV show, so it's great for business, but it's not the business. You know, the business is wet blood and tears. It's a lot of long nights, short morning, no vacation, no family, and somebody else is dating your girlfriend because you're never home. That's the reality of restaurant business, right? But also restaurant business is a lot of passion. It's a lot of continuity and it's a lot of perseverance. if you can sustain the insanity of restaurant business and you keep sanity while doing that, then you eventually, you're going to pass the first decade worth of being berated and not being very well compensated and being overworked. And eventually, you're going to find your own voice. You're going to find your own pace. Problem I have is that when kids out of school, they try to come to my place and tell me how much money they're going to make, what they want to do, and how they want to be called. That's not the way I grew up. And in Italy, you give pat on the back when pat on the back is needed, and you give kick in somebody's ass when kick in somebody's ass is needed. I'm not generalizing, but in general, that's not what the educational system teaches today.
When you got the check when you're 27 years old in Italy, a big check, right?
Yep.
Was there a thought in your mind that you weren't going to go back into the culinary world? Like all the things you just mentioned about.
Oh, yeah. It was enough money for me to retire. Now, I was 27 and I was rich. At that point, I was economically rich. I had enough money to not do anything for the rest of my life and live comfortably in Italy, right? So what happened, though, is that it didn't last very long. While it lasted, I rented an apartment in Malibu because I wanted to take a year of vacation. I was like, I've been working for 16 years, 130 hours a week. I just want to take a vacation. So I rent $10,000 a month cottage in Malibu PCH. And literally, I had a house on the beach. And I was like, in 3 months, I'm out. It's June 2005. In September, I'm out. September 20, I landed to the United States. 2 weeks prior to that, my dad did an incredible, unfortunate event with my dad's small operated business. And he had to bankrupt the business because one of his main client didn't pay. They sued him for anything. It wasn't really my dad's fault, but my dad didn't know how to bounce out of it. Mm. And I just took a breather and I cut the bank a check for the whole amount of the bankruptcy number. So I went from having a couple million dollars in my checking account to be broke again. And now I'm in the United States doing a vacation that I can't afford anymore.
Oh, no.
And I just arrived, literally. I just landed in the United States a week after. My dad said, what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? It's like, well, can you help? I'm like, he didn't think I was going to help that much.
Guess when you're in that kind of situation where you go from riches to rags, if you will.
I came from rags. So
rags
I didn't
to riches back to rags.
Yeah, I didn't mind the rags.
Does it focus you in a way that you say, okay, I got to get back into it. What do I know? I know food. I'm going to start back from the ground up like I did before.
So let's put it this way. If you've done it once, it's easier to do it another time. But once you've done it and they take it all away, and it's not even your fault, you just being a good son, it sucks twice as much. Because if you screw up and you lose them and you got to pay for it, it's a lesson learned.
Right.
What lesson I've learned, I just give money away. You see what I mean? There is no lesson learned.
Right.
There is just me being a nice person and just didn't want my family go belly up while I'm having a time of my life in Malibu. I bounce back because I know I have skills. I know how to apply them. And my biggest problem is that I didn't speak a word of English. When I moved to the United States, I didn't speak a lack of English. I couldn't invite a beautiful girl outside with me to have a drink to save my life. I couldn't do it because I couldn't phrase it because I didn't speak English. So the only things I've done, I met an Italian guy that taught me three phrases in English. First phrase is that, is there anybody there to speak English? Second phrase in English was, I am a hospitality consultant. And the third phrase was, I would like to talk to you about how to save you money and grow the top line of your business.
Did people respond to that?
Some people
phrases?
Did. I did literally 1,500 phone calls in the first 2 weeks I was in the United States. And I found an Italian guy that was speaking somehow Italian. They had an Italian restaurant in Ventura County with a lot of potential, but was losing money left and right. Mm. He agreed to get a meeting with me. He hired me as a consultant. I was paying myself from Italy to show that I had a job in the United States. So think about it. I was out of my savings. I was cutting myself checks to show that I had a job in the United States. I was paying taxes on my own money saved just to show that I had a job so I can get a short-term permit and then figure it out how to do it because I didn't even know about. And in 2005, it was a lot looser than it is right now. So it's fine. You got a job? Yeah, sure. We'll give you a permit, right?
Right.
Now it's a lot harder,
more.
Right? And so this guy said, well, I'll hire you. How much you want to get paid? And I said, well, I want to make half of whatever I save you. So you save half, I take half. And it went very well. And then he was one of my first investors.
Yeah.
Then we opened a restaurant in Moore Park together. And that was the first restaurant. And now, fast forward, our business now, we have 15 restaurants open.
Amazing.
And yeah. the business this year will do very well.
Chef restaurateur Fabio Viviani in studio tonight. We're talking about his career in the culinary arts. As you know, he's obviously a big deal here in Chicago with Siena Tavern.
Siena Tavern is a big deal. I'm just cooking there.
I have so many questions just about the culture, because... Yeah. Coming from already doing this as a young man in Florence to come to Chicago, are they similar? You went to LA first and to Malibu, but when you get to Chicago after all this, is it all that's kind of relearning and you're like, oh, I know how to do this? Or are there substantial differences on the way that you treat customers or you prepare the food and anything between Chicago and what you were doing in Florence?
Chicken is chicken everywhere, right? The chicken is chicken in America. Good food is good food. Good food doesn't have a flag. What the flag changes is perception on how to operate certain restaurant, right? In Italy, when you have a restaurant, you have a job. You don't retire from a restaurant. You work there your whole life, and you die in the restaurant. In the United States, a restaurant is, for people like me, it's a business. Passion. Passion is there. Don't get me wrong, but let's talk about number. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a business. For most people, it's a hobby. Because statistically, 98% of the restaurant they open this year will close with 12 months of operation. And out of the 2% left, 50% doesn't pass 3 years of operation. So whenever time a newbie, I call him newbie, he says, I'm going to open my own restaurant, statistically, you're dead. Statistically. And if you're lucky, you're buying yourself a job, which means that you're going to work three times harder than actual job and make the exact same amount of money. With that said, for the one that make it, the culture and the concept is very similar. Successful business is based on number, profitability, and customer appreciation. Your customers are happy, you make more money, and you open more business. The main difference is that certain position in Italy, it's a lot more professional. Like, for example, servers in Italy, it's a career. In the United States, server is a transition. I'm not getting wrong. There are... Right. Many restaurants, they have server, they have 10, 20, 30, 40-year experience, and God bless them. But it's not the norm. You know, server in the United States, especially in a restaurant like mine, is not seen as a career necessarily. It's seen as, let me do this as I'm holding on to my biggest dream so I can pay the bill. Most of the people that we work are amazing performer in the server space. Mm-hmm. So I'm not putting down, I think that, they're incredible human beings for being so passionate about something that is not what they want to do. But that's the main cultural shift. You know, in the United States, kitchens is more like a place of gathering for almost socially awkward people, right? People you don't really get along in public. I'm going to work in a restaurant, right? I'm going to work in a kitchen. But in the United States, it's a lot different. In Italy, you find people that are like people that they're either out of jail or they can't socialize or they're very awkward. And that's the kitchen in Italy. So front of the house in Italy is legit. It's like career taker. Back of the house in Italy is like, it's a pirate ship. In the United States, there is a lot of career in the kitchen and a lot of more... I don't want to call it mercenary, but it's a lot more mercenary as far as front of the house,
that's
right?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of difference there. As far as running it, America is just such a better place to do it, man. I mean, if we're talking about sales, I'm with what I had in Italy, which we had, seven restaurants, a hotel, farmhouse, dance club, and two bed and breakfast. Siena Tavern alone does more than those business operations combined as far as sales. And it's crazy because in Italy, everything is smaller, everything is intimate, but everything is a job. You know, you have a restaurant in Italy, you're making $30,000 a year and you own the restaurant. I mean, I can't keep a cook in the kitchen for that much for, it's just complete. The number is bigger, bolder, America, it's for Italian, America is like for you, Texas. Everything is big. It's just like numbers are bigger. The expectations are bigger.
Let me wrap up. In Chicago, we're seeing restaurant groups.
Yes,
we see
we are a restaurant group.
You're a restaurant group, and you see several others that seem to be adding on. Just like you just said, the formula of they make money and they grow. What is it that makes a Fabio Viviani restaurant shine? What is the thing that makes your restaurant empire work?
Well, there is so many respectable restaurant group in the United States. Good friend of us from Boca Group to, Let Us Entertain You. I think that we are doing best what we are doing. You do you. I do me, meaning you can't be Fabio Viviani. That's why I'm winning a Fabio Viviani's game, because nobody can do it better than I do. if we were talking about places like Momotaro, Fabio can't be Momotaro, because Momotaro is good at being Momotaro. And that's why they're so successful, because they're game changer in that same things. You're not going to see me be the chef at an Asian restaurant, because I'm not Asian.
But what is it that makes it a Fabio Viviani restaurant?
I think what makes Fabio Fabio is the uncompromised work ethic. First, I'm the hardest working man in the industry. I don't care who's listening. I don't care how many restaurants more than me they have. They can't beat me on my own game. I get up earlier and I go to bed later than everybody else I know. And while they're partying, I'm working. While they're sleeping, I'm working. While I'm sleeping and they're sleeping, there's somebody working for me on things that I'm going to do as soon as I get up. I just cannot be outworked in this industry. And that's why also we're expanding really fast at a pace where, don't get me wrong, first 3 years, my English wasn't this good. I didn't speak a word of English. And I still managed to figure it out how to get it done. So I think Fabio is good at being Fabio. The work ethic, I never say no to a customer. I'm always in a good mood. And the food is very important. And the service is very important. And the atmosphere. We always tell our server that our restaurant are theater. You know, and everybody's watching the stage. You can't pick your nose. You can't be moody. You can't argue. You can't bicker with somebody, because everybody's watching. And if you can't keep that kind of self-control and consistency, then you win, whether you're with Fabio or not. Fabio. And they have an accent. The accent helps.
The accent helps. Chef and restaurateur Fabio Viviani in studio tonight. Of course, the man behind Siena Tavern, Bar Siena in the West Loop, and also Prime and Provisions just here in Chicago. Much, much more around the country. Fabio Viviani, pleasure to meet you and talk to you, and look forward to having you back sometime.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to be back soon. Appreciate you having me.